There are so many fun things we all can do to be healthier, no matter who you are or where you are. So let's move.
Well, here we go. We're getting set to get underway.
Let's stretch in the grass.
Great play.
Let's play tag.
What a play.
Let's jump up and down.
Oh, what a way to finish it.
And most of all, let's eat better so that we have the energy we need to play an hour a day every day.
Everyone can play. Just go to letsmove.gov to learn more.
The 99th came eyeball to eyeball in air-to-air combat with the German Luftwaffe.
Bombers would be here, we'd be above the bombers, to provide sort of a net against the German planes coming down.
We said we'd better get a real name and identification so that the bombers and the Germans would know when we were on a mission. And it was decided jointly that we would paint the tails red, and we became known as the Red Tails.
When you buy a car, what are you really buying? A shiny coat of paint? A list of features? What about the strength of the steel? The integrity of its design? Or how it responds in extreme situations? The deeper you look, the more you see the real differences. And the more you understand what it means to own a Mercedes-Benz. The C-Class. The engineering of Mercedes-Benz. Starting at $33,600.
You're white. Start out with a bright future. Then, over time, they become dull and begin to lose their luster. Because washing in the Bargain brand can leave dirt from the wash on your clothes, causing your white to get dingy. New improved Tide Plus Bleach helps to remove the dirt in one wash to bring your white back to bright. Turning whitish to wow. Tide Plus Bleach. Style is an option. Clean is not.
Applebee's 2 for 20 is back and fresher than ever.
So, Dave, you and the wife at separate tables now?
Honey, it's my 2 for 20 club night.
I think it's my 2 for 20 club night.
So grab your 2 for 20 club and savor inspired new favorites like tender chicken fettuccine carbonara and garden fresh bruschetta chicken. Or go for a classic like our 7-ounce house sirloin. That's one appetizer, two entrees, just $20.
Mom, Dad?
It's the freshest 2 for 20 yet, only at Applebee's. Now serving half-price appetizers late night.
Special edition of Ask Kathleen right here on Ask Kathleen Network. It is Wednesday night, October 24th, and we have for you tonight an incredible show where we are going to be talking about the election. Yes, the upcoming election in November, on November 6th, just a couple of weeks from now, we will be electing a president for the United States of America. And because all of the debates are over, everything is in high gear, we decided to have a show for you tonight where we'll be talking about the last debate, talking about the election coverage, and really getting you any information that you need in the ninth hour if you haven't decided who to vote for, where to vote, how to vote, who to vote how, or why. You'll find out tonight. So you can join us on the air at 909-265-9189. That's 909-265-9189. Give a call. Voice your opinion. Let us know how you're feeling and what you are thinking that the president or Mitt Romney needs to do in the upcoming election. So, this is Kathleen Williams. I'm your host, and thank you for joining me tonight on the 2012 election coverage special edition on Ask Kathleen Network. And I am joined tonight by my beautiful co-host and sister, Ronnie Best. Hey, Ronnie.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great, thank you. And we are also joined by none other than the extraordinary political strategist, the one who has the answers with basically anything that you want to know about election coverage, none other than Jerome Esprit. Thank you so much, Jerome. Hey, how you doing?
Hey, people. Hey, Ronnie. Haven't heard from Ronnie in years.
You know, I know. How are you? It's good to hear your voice. Wonderful.
Hey, Kathleen. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. So we are here with Election 2012 coverage, so let's get this show on the road. Woo! So thank you all both for being here tonight, this impromptu show where we can really talk about what's happening. Let's start with the last debate. Monday was the final of four debates that we had in this particular campaign, an opportunity to check out the current president of the United States, the POTUS, President Barack Obama, and his opponent running on the Republican ticket, Governor Mitt Romney. And also we had an opportunity to take a look at the vice presidential candidates in one of the debates, Joe Biden and Mr. Biden were
Can you hear me, guys?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Paul Ryan.
See,
Paul
she was on
Ryan.
It. Paul Ryan.
I didn't say that.
You said Jimmy.
Okay. I said Jimmy, Joe, John, everything. I don't know where I got the Jimmy. Anyway, okay, so we had
I don't think he's getting your vote, is he?
Paul Ryan.
That is
Joe
my guess.
Biden. Don't hold that against me, guys, as we start out.
Okay.
Tonight.
No,
but
not.
At any rate, we're going to be election coverage. So let's start out with the final debate. Last Monday, we had an opportunity to watch for 90 minutes the president in his third performance with Governor Mitt Romney, and they talked about foreign policy. So let's see. Jerome, you want to start out?
No, I'm just joking. It doesn't matter. I don't know where to begin. Okay, so I guess we should start off with the kind of the overall sweeping. Of course, the president was better on paper than he was in presence in the first debate. The second debate, he obviously, you know, kind of took over a little bit. In the third debate, he made Mitt Romney look like he was pretty much in grammar school. For the president, you know that on a foreign, just talking about foreign affairs, when the person that you're running against have no experience and then doesn't really have the advisors, well, have a bunch of Bush advisors, they knew nothing about foreign affairs to begin with, and he really showed it. And you can tell by, you know, a lot of people did, you know, just kind of commentary on how bad he was sweating and biting his, licking his lips, and he was just nervous. He just didn't have anything but bullet points. So, you know, the president did a great job, but, you know, and he did go at him just to show him you can't just frivolously throw up things, because even in these debates you have other countries looking at us, and he is president, so he can't just use his words frivolously. And you know, I don't know what to say. The president did a great job.
My favorite thing was that Mitt Romney said, okay, I'll do what he do.
You know what? But that's
what are you going to do? Oh, I'm going to do what he does. Okay,
right?
I'll do what he does. Yeah, that's what he said. That's what I'll do.
That's what you do when you cheat off somebody's paper, right? That's exactly what he did. He said, "What you doing? What do you have for? What do you have for number five? B? I got five. I got B too." Like he did the same thing. He cheated off his paper. So
he said, oh,
it just showed, huh?
He says, oh, you got five? Good. I'll do five. Five will work.
That's exactly what he did. He copied off of the president's paper. He didn't have a policy or anything of his own. And so he just said, oh, well, whatever he's doing, I'm with that. I'm not going to do nothing different. Now, that's cheating in everybody's book.
That's cheating. I would say that is cheating, absolutely. And the thing that was great about it was that the president called it out. You know, it's like you don't really have a plan. We did that already. We did that already. So, it was pretty interesting.
And there's quite a few classic lines on there. And I think the thing that most people, you know, came away with the second one was the Big Bird thing because everybody made so much fun of it. But
yeah.
this time, what do you think they're going to come away with?
Horses and bayonets.
Well, horses and bayonets, yes. And the line, this is not, we're not playing Battleship.
Oh yeah, that was great.
Yeah, because once he said we don't have as many ships as we had in the 50s or whatever, he said we have boats that go underwater now. We have air carriers that carry big planes. You know, he made him seem like he just woke up and said it's like a little kid in elementary school. You know how your kids always think they're smarter than you. I always tell students when I speak at colleges, you won't ever be smarter than your parents. You don't have enough life experience, so they're always going to know things that you don't know.
Right.
So get over it. And so he made Mitt Romney look like he was 10. He just threw something out like he knew it, and then the president goes, we don't do that, little fella. Not no mom. That is pretty much how he treated him. So, you know, the right wing went crazy, but oh, well.
Yeah. So Ronnie, I know you have a lot of thoughts about the last debate as well. So go for it.
The previous debate?
This last one. We were talking about this last one, and any one of them. You don't have to be limited to that. I know you have a lot of thoughts about what's going on with the campaign, the debates, the election.
Right. Well, what I didn't like.
You sound like you got a little bit of feedback there. Are you on speaker?
Okay.
Is that better?
Much better.
Okay. What I didn't like, but of course, you know, it's to be expected, is that every single opportunity that the Mitt Romney camp gets to lie again and say, oh, no, he did great.
Yeah.
They spin every single thing I don't know where they go with things. I don't know what they listen to. Personally, I didn't think, I'm going to start from the beginning. I didn't think President Obama was terrible on the first debate. I didn't think he was aggressive as Mitt Romney, but I also felt that if I were in his position, I would have done the same thing. You know, because you want to knock me off my throne. So the smart move, in my opinion, is to sit and listen to what all you have, what ammunition you have to come and destroy me, rather than going at you, fighting you, battling you right out the gate. Let me listen and see what you got going. What do you think you're going to do? What's your strategy to destroy me? So that was what I took away from the first debate. But everybody thought he was, you know, maybe he had, I thought too he might have a little bit of heartburn. He might have been bored. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I just didn't think he was that terrible. I just felt that he was, let me listen to what this person has to say rather than jumping in the game because, you know, how many of us are big sports fans, but I'm a big sports fan. And I remember the last catch or the last touchdown, the last basket. I don't remember, you know, when they show highlights from the games, they don't show you, oh, yeah, the World Series, they won, but this is the first game. This is the best thing they ever did. They show you the last game, the last highlights. So this one was the knockout punch. And they will all say, oh, no, Mitt Romney was perfect. He did exactly what he wanted to do. I thought it was any minute Paul Ryan was going to call him and say, get out of there while you can.
You can.
Run.
You know, and I agree with that because that is the stance that I took initially. Like early on, I couldn't understand what was so bad about his first debate because if you read the transcripts, he actually knocked it out of the park. Like everything that he said, he laid it out. He was clear, but the optics was bad. Like, so he campaigned earlier in the day. He probably was a little tired, but as a strategist, you do not give – there's a couple of ways to run a race, but the first thing you don't do is it is not smart to show your opponent how to beat you. So he sat there and said, I'm going to be the president, and I'm going to let him attack. Now, Romney, you know, the Republicans are mean-spirited. That's all they do is argue in their debates. But Democrats would not have liked the president arguing. And so if they were arguing back and forth, the president would have lost brownie points like crazy. He would have still lost them. So being the second one, Mitt Romney wasn't as aggressive. He tried to. He just couldn't make the point. But the president wasn't, you know, belligerent. He didn't really go off or anything. But even that was still some Democrats were kind of squeamish. So the analysis of how Democrats are opposed to Republicans is this. Republicans love to fight each other. They love to fight generally. They like to argue. You know, they'll call in on this show, whether they're black or white Republicans, and they will start yelling. The first thing come out of their mouth, they're yelling, right? But Democrats, on the other hand, go to a poor me thing. So right after that first debate, Chris Matthews and all those guys lost their mind. If he does this, there's no way he's going to win, and the Republicans are jumping for joy. So you know what happened in this last third debate was the president mopped the floor with him, looking like made him look like he was a fifth grader, and the Republicans was like, oh, it's not that important. So since the Democrats don't jump for joy, the news cycle only lasted about a day. Right? The reason the news cycle lasted so long in that first debate is because the Democrats were complaining all week.
Yeah. I wanted to kill them all. I really wanted to smack them down. How dare you complain?
They created that environment.
Create that environment, and so I don't trust you as much as I would trust you, you know. And I took another really big point for the president when he said to Mitt Romney, you would have let the auto industry go down in flames. No, I wouldn't. I like cars.
That doesn't have anything to do with it. I like cars.
No, he didn't say that. Did he say I like cars?
Yes, he did.
I like cars? Oh, my gosh. Okay.
What did he do with the women's stuff? He said, I like women.
Yeah,
we all like women.
I love women.
And he was going to take the
money
from PBS.
I have binders full of women.
Yeah.
He was going to take the money from PBS, and he says, I like Big Bird.
Yeah, I like Big Bird. I'm going to kill him, but I like
So the best thing that you could do is just make sure that he doesn't like you, because if he likes you.
You're in a big
That's some CEO lying. You know, it's like, everything's going to be okay. Layoffs is on Friday, but they're like, forget the rumors. That's not true.
Yeah.
They lay everybody off.
We
on
like
Friday.
All of you. You know, we.
Yes,
we
everybody's
can't keep
doing
you
a great
employed,
job. Work
but we
hard.
Really do like you.
Well.
Didn't you tell we like you? We had toilet paper in the bathroom. What's the problem?
Yep.
The next point that just really snockered me was when he said, you know, I made the decision to have Bin Laden killed, and my own vice president argued with me, but I had to make the decision, and
right.
I made it. And he says, yeah, that was a good thing. That was good to kill Bin Laden, but we can't kill our way out of this. We
yeah,
can't
I heard
kill
it.
Our
yeah. way.
But but it was good. You killed him. It was good.
You try to take the fire from him. See, that's what you do when you agree in a debate, right, and you think you're going to throw your opponent. But at like in the first debate, you know, he lied, like he 180-degree lied. And so I'm sure the president was thinking, you know, where am I supposed to go with this? Because this is no motto at all. Because now he's agreeing with me on everything that he thinks is controversial, and he's flat lying. So the president even said, I can't say through the whole debate he's lying, he's lying, he's lying. You can't do that either. We could do that, but he couldn't.
No, you can't do that because the people, the person that's screaming the loudest is the person that people don't believe. And, you know, people are not that sharp.
Right, but here is why I don't watch the debates directly. It's because the very next day of that first debate, every paper, and I mean from the BBC to the conservative English papers all over the world, everybody were saying Romney lied.
Lied. Yep. It was
so
everywhere.
Even though people who watch it think that he won, the people who read about it, who didn't watch it, saw in 38 minutes, he lied 27 or 29 times in 38 minutes. That's what they're seeing in the paper.
Yeah.
And then the media lied again, too. The media lies, too, because he said, I would leave troops in Iraq. Then the president said, and you said you would leave troops in Iraq. No, I didn't say that. So then the fact checker comes on at the end of the debate and says, no, President Romney didn't say he would leave 20,000 troops in Iraq. He said that he would leave 20,000 troops in Iraq last time. He didn't say he would leave it in this time.
It doesn't matter when he said it. He said they wouldn't have never left, and if they had to leave, they would leave 20,000 troops is what he said.
So what
right.
does it matter if he was going to leave? He didn't say it tonight. He didn't say it 2 weeks ago. He said it before.
Right, so he get to change his story every 5 days is the problem,
and that's what
right?
he did. And that's what the thing that the president said in this last debate, too, which I was appreciative that he said it. He said, you know what, Governor, this is probably the biggest whopper you've told in this.
I love that. That was great. That's going to be my new line.
So even though he couldn't keep saying it over and over again, okay, that's a lie. That's just not true. He did say that quite a bit, though. He was like, that's just not true. And then as soon as he says that, Romney turns to him, oh, you didn't say that? You didn't say that, you know, and to try and start a fight. And I'm like, we will really be in trouble if this gentleman is in the Oval Office.
Oh, don't even worry about
thing.
That. Now, here's the thing. I went into a friend of mine, my friend's Jamaican restaurant, and it's funny, some of the people who were in there, they were like, after the vice presidential debate, what the heck is malarkey? And I said, it was hilarious. Everybody was like, I don't think I ever really heard that word. And I said, I didn't realize that was a cultural white person's word, malarkey. We were cracking up that Joe Biden kept saying that he didn't want to say he was full of bull or beep. He didn't want to do that.
Right.
He said
right.
he's full of malarkey. And I said, that's what white folks say culturally, is saying that he's full of mess.
But that's an old 1970s term.
Yes, old.
Yeah, but that's a cultural thing. Like, we don't use it, which is fun. That's why it was funny to me.
It was hilarious when you said, oh, he's a bunch of malarkey. But, you know, that's the old white guys. My whole family's a policeman. If you know, like here in New York, it's like a bunch of cops and, you know, a bunch of, I don't want to say the word I want to say, but service workers, but on the upper echelon. So there's police officers and firemen and all that, and those are the terms they use.
Okay.
You know, a lot of, what do you call them, those, Kathleen, what do you call the guys that are union guys?
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? The guys that are in the,
you,
the big unions, they all use that. That's the terms that they use.
Yeah.
So I guess if you're not into that, if you haven't been around those guys, then you never heard that word. Probably not. And I thought it was hilarious because I know what he really wanted to say.
Exactly. He was searching for words. He was like, I'm malarkey. Because with the word I want to use, we would have some problems. But you know, besides like the battleship line and I forgot what else it was, but the president had a bunch of great lines about, or the bayonet and horses would. He really did have some memorable moments on the third debate just because it was so decisive. Like, it was not even close. That's why everybody's downplaying it. And again, the Republicans do a really, really good job at this. It's the Democrats' issue for me that they have short-term memory. When they win, it's like, well, he has to do good. He has to do good, and then he wins. And they're like, oh, now this one's going to make it. He has to do this, and then he does. And then they're like, okay, what is he going to do about closing the women gap? You know, it's like, you guys put out, there is one fire after the other doing political races.
Have you ever gone to, what kind of school? I don't want to go racist, but I kind of have to.
Go ahead. Make it hot. Go ahead. We don't care. Well,
what did you say?
I'm here to tell you, Ronnie, I am fully integrated into that as well. I was a child. Well, personally, most of the campaigns that I've done over 20 years, I've only done a couple of black candidates ever, and I've done mostly Republican races. So can you imagine in a room as the only black person there and fundraisers and country clubs and then telling them what to do? Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah,
because I had to be like that since I was young.
Yeah.
Well, that well, you're talking country clubs. So is that a rich?
There's no such thing as a poor country club.
Well, no. I was just saying, Ronnie, the what you're saying is that more common amongst the wealthy.
I would say that's just the way they are. Period.
I would say it's cultural.
It's
as well.
More. It gets. They're better equipped to deceive you the more wealthy they are. Just like Mitt Romney, he's smooth. He thinks, but this time he didn't anticipate. Okay, so he comes in with this, in my opinion, he comes in with that, I'm better than you and you have to know this. I'm the governor of Massachusetts. So everybody that has any clue of Massachusetts knows that the people in Massachusetts feel like it's Massachusetts and the rest of you bums. Because that's how they feel in Massachusetts, up there in Maine and all those people feel, you know, the Kennedy area. They all feel like the rest of the country, you know, you're lucky that we even allowed you to breathe air. So Massachusetts was doing so well, and he did so great. I don't know. I've been waiting for somebody to give me stats on how long he was governor. I don't know. But when he said that we did... Okay, good. That's what I thought. So he goes and says, yes, and I did this when I was in office, and I did that when I was in office. And President Obama said, all of that was done 10 years before you 10 years before you came into office. What are you talking about?
Right. He just started taking credit for stuff.
He starts taking credit for stuff. They're very, very well they're very, very, very smooth with deception. So they can deceive you into believing that you, like they deceived, they try to deceive President Obama into thinking that, oh, yes, we can't wait to have a black president. We love you. Now that we have you and that you're very adept, we hate your guts. We can't stand you. We want to get rid of you. We don't care what we have to live with. That's what I am picking up.
No, you know, I think it's like they see a window, right? And so even the racist, crazy people see a window. And so they're energized based upon the possibility, right, of beating him. It's not that they like Romney at all. It's not like he has support. If you look at some of the polling number from the people who already voted, the president is leading something crazy like 54% and 56%, and Romney's only getting about 38 or 39% of the vote of people who already cast early voting, especially in Ohio. Now, I know in Iowa in particular, the president was at about 57%, and Mitt Romney was at about 37. Like, he had like a 20-point lead, and one-third of the people who are registered to vote already voted in Iowa.
I already voted. You guys don't have the applause machine on.
Hold on.
Oh, you're going to grab one for you.
Okay, say it again.
I've already casted my vote.
Oh, gosh. Well, yeah, I was supposed to vote today, and I didn't get to it. We had so much drama happening in the neighborhood, but at any rate, be that as it may, we had a lot of. I just wanted to say that I think it ends up being so much that the election itself, because of the fact that the president is a black man, that the election itself becomes so much more about race than it ever has, ever. Not just this time, but last time as well. And even though there's always the undercurrent or the afterthought of, well, who's going to have the black vote and there is the assumption that the Democratic candidate will have the black vote, it is usually just kind of, you know, people just usually move through that and don't spend a tremendous amount of time focusing on it or thinking about it or even trying to sequester it, if you will. So in this conversation now, what I'm finding is that the black vote is so much more important and critical than it is ever made out to be in an election where the candidates, there is not one candidate who is assumed to automatically have that vote. So in other words, when you had the election with Bill Clinton versus George Bush, was it? Was he running against Bush that first year?
Senior Bush.
Yeah, so when you had Bill Clinton running, there was maybe a slight mention of the fact that Bill Clinton might have the black vote, but not a whole great big deal about it. So assumption is that he'll get the black vote, but he didn't have to do a whole lot to go recruiting it. And there was not a lot of conversation in the media directed towards the black vote. You know, maybe some more about the Latino vote a little bit, because when you're looking at Florida, I think that becomes important. But not a whole lot like it is now. And what I'm feeling, what is being portrayed to me, or anyway, what I'm picking up, is that the black vote is a very important vote. As a matter of fact, so they're saying that if the president were to lose the black vote, you know, because they're saying, okay, basically, because the whole conversation, whether you're voting for the president because he's a black man, is that why you're voting for him? So if you can take that away and open up the black vote and say maybe, okay, well, 50% of black Americans are going to vote for Mitt Romney, the president doesn't automatically have the black vote, then what happens? Then it becomes a closer race. So it feels like there's been a blanket over the fact that the black vote is very important to whatever candidate.
But I don't see Mitt Romney could care less. He's not courting any African-American votes.
Well, I'm not saying that he is. I'm just saying that, you know, in this particular election, I've just heard so much more about the minority vote, the black vote, the Latino vote.
Than
in any other election. This election has been so much, has racially divided, has revealed the racial divisions in the country like no other election I've ever seen.
I thought it was a rough and tumble one with the George Bush vote and the African American vote and it lost in Florida. Remember when, not lost, but they tried to prevent them from voting.
Yeah, I think they threw out about 25,000 votes.
Yeah.
In the black community back then.
It was a mess. I said that he stole the vote from Florida. He was able to do
right,
that because
right, right.
There was physically physician there.
Right. And Richard, Ron, what were you saying, huh?
No, I was just saying that they threw out more votes than the margin of victory in Florida.
Wow. Just unbelievable. Unbelievable. So anyway, I thought that was interesting because it has sparked.
I want to say something about that.
Please.
Okay. The thing that I don't like about it, because, you know, I don't really mess with hypotheticals too much, but the thing that I don't like about that is it is because he's black, that's a black-on-black crime, right? So it is because he's black that people are talking about him getting the black vote. Like, nobody's fighting for it. And in campaign seasons where neither side really cares about black folks, the Democrats recruit them because that's what they do, and the Republicans are lukewarm about black people, I don't remember in 2010 nobody talking about the black vote. You know, it's because he's black that they're worried about the black vote, because they're like, now he's getting it overwhelmingly. But if it was split 50-50, they wouldn't care about the black vote. They just don't look at it like that from the media side. But for us, this is self-hate. This is how we roll at any given time is that when something goes down, we start talking about, you just voting for him because he's black. Well, we don't know if white people voting for him because he's white. I'm voting for the other guy because he's white. We know the Mormons voting for him because he's Mormon.
Exactly.
You know that.
Yeah. And a lot of the Christians are voting for him because he claims he's pro-life. He claims, but he's going to do what the guy's going to do.
You're talking about Mitt Romney.
Yes. Mitt Romney, oh, you know, the big wig, we call it super-duper Christians, they're going to vote for him. I saw it on the internet that Billy Graham met with Mitt Romney and paid for some of his ads or something like that. But the thing is, they believe he's pro-life, but you don't really believe, you don't have a clue what he really is, because if he's going to sit there and say, oh, well, I'm going to do what he said.
The thing is, they're counting on him being wishy-washy, because either way, you'd say, maybe he's not really like that, so I'll vote for him. Then the other side says, maybe he's really not like that, so I'll vote for him. That's very, you know, that is so wishy-washy, it is just not funny. This is horrible for me as a professional, I can tell you, because if they get away with lying, and I am saying, first of all, I think the president's going to win by a large margin, but the problem is that if it's not a large margin, politicians are never going to tell you the truth again. If you think about it, he never rolled out a platform. He said, I got a five-point plan, look it up. And so people were like,
he said,
well, Romney got a five-point plan. No, he don't have
on the website. You can go to my website.
He said, look at my five-point plan on the website. If you looked on my website, you would see what I plan to do. And the president leaned back and looked at him like, is this guy serious? Is he insane?
No, do you remember what the president said, though?
Yes, he said, I looked at your website.
No, he said, Mitt Romney don't have no five-point plan. He got a one-point plan.
I did hear him say that.
That was hilarious. It's like
that
if he tells you to look up some five, we don't have no five-point plan. He got a one-point plan. Cut taxes and everything else is flexible. That's all.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
So the horrible thing for me is that once they start lying like this, and nobody, he doesn't care if he gets fact-checked. You know, and this whole thing about low-information voters is garbage. Right, and that's why, you know, I keep saying the voter suppression stuff is important because they're trying to keep the numbers down, but they're having record numbers of voter turnout across this country already. You know, my cousin in Houston, she said, I guess it was yesterday or the day before, she went to vote. She said that line was 2 hours long. She
for
said she left voting? And came back and had to stay in line still that long. So
wow.
So the problem is, and just like they said in Cleveland on the last day or the last day of registration, the first day of early voting, in 2008, they got about 5,300 votes cast. This year, it was over 9,000 votes in 2012. They're getting higher voter turnout than they did in 2012, and black people are still talking about the enthusiasm's not there. No,
even in 2008.
It's that right, because he's already the man. What do you need to hype yourself up? He ain't a rookie.
Just go put your vote in. That's what I told everybody. You know, they were like, well, I don't see that the youth are excited like they were. Look, don't worry about whether they're excited or not. Just you cast your vote. Have you registered? That's all we need to do.
Right. And so with the demographic breakdown of it generally, you have, I think it was, I want to say, it wasn't Ohio. It might have been Ohio. 81% of the people that the new register voters, 81% are voters under 30 and under. They were women, they were minorities, and they were college-age students, 81%. In all of those areas, President Obama has like a 15 to 20-point lead in different segments of that 81% of the new registered voters. But they don't count them, mind you, in these polls. This is likely voter polls. So if you just voted in the last presidential election and not in a race since then, you're not counted in there. That's why that polling is wrong.
Who's Gallup?
Say it again.
The Gallup poll she's asking about.
Gallup poll is one of the older ones. Gallup is actually pretty good, but what they're doing is they're doing a likely voter model. They're not doing a registered voter model. So they're saying in likely voter, we're talking about people who vote every probably two out of the last three times. So you had to either vote in 2010, 2008, and 2009, or, you know, so you had to be at least two out of the last 3 years of voting. So they count them. And so the problem is that people weren't interested. Always on the presidential elections, we always have higher voter turnout. But they're not counting that. They're only counting the likely voter. So when you start doing polls of the nation and you get excitement in, like, the rural areas and in Alabama and Louisiana because Mitt Romney did good, now you're influxing the amount of people that's in your Gallup polls and your national polls, and it looks like it's inflated more Mitt Romney, which is just an impression. It just means that per region, his numbers are probably going up. So the president may lose by a larger margin in Nebraska, but that doesn't mean that Mitt Romney is going to win Nevada. Those polls have been steady. The Ohio polls have been steady. Like, there is not a lot of paths for Romney at all to win. And that's why Nate Silver, who does the sports, what is it? I don't know. They do the daily number about the percentage chance of Mitt Romney winning. And he was at 15% for the longest. He went up to 30 or 35, and now he's back down to 29. Like, if those are good odds, I don't know what is. Now,
but they
those
have to want to scare people
polls.
Into staying home.
Say it again?
They want to scare. It's a tactic. They want to scare people into staying home. I decided to speak to some people on my own, just started polling people on my own because I don't trust the people in the polls. And I started asking people, were like, oh, what's the point? It don't matter who I vote for. Things are not going to get any better. I said, well, why don't you try things getting worse? Try that on for size because it can get worse. If you think it's bad now, don't vote and don't complain when he gets in like George Bush did and the situation ended up the way it did. And then you want to complain that George Bush was the worst president ever, but you guys sat home and said, oh, it doesn't matter if you don't vote. Things are already bad. And then they got 100,000% worse, and he took us into that crazy war. And now that I don't want to digress, but I wanted to go over there in the war and talk about the foreign policy. When I was voting in the last two elections that George Bush ran in, mothers were dying. They were bleeding on the streets over their children going to war. Now that the war is over, I hear nothing.
That's usually how they act.
That's back to their wishy-washy ways, you see.
Yeah, and just like what they were saying about us as a nation, Mitt Romney is saying, we need to be hard on Syria. We need to be hard on Iran. It's like you and none of your kids ain't never, and your family has never been in the military. You can't just go sending people off, kids off to war just because you want to play tough with somebody. It's what George
Wasn't
Bush,
his son just in Iraq? His son?
Whose?
Wasn't Mitt Romney, wasn't his son just in Iraq?
Iraqi kids ain't go to, no, they're not in the military. They all go on mission work. That's how they think they serve. Just through missing. Do you know Mitt Romney kids get a, he gives them like $1 million a year? That don't work.
Does he need any more kids? Like,
do you hear me clicking my mic?
He can definitely afford them.
Did you hear me going, wait a minute, I might have to vote for him.
He might benefit from a black child right about now. Let's see. But anyway, okay, so...
He wouldn't get a deduction, so you wouldn't work out.
Yeah. Jerome, let's get a conversation about the Electoral College real quick and how that's looking as we begin to wind down.
Well, the Electoral College for just overall, it looks pretty steady at the present at about 277. And then... you know, of course, they're talking battleground stuff. So I think, personally, he's probably closer to maybe 310 electoral college-wise. And Mitt Romney is holding steady at 191. And depending on how some states move, he'll probably, you know, he may win a couple of states in there. But the electoral college is looking pretty stable as far as the president is concerned. That's why there's no real worry. There's worry, but there's no real urgency to that when your electoral college numbers look so promising.
Mm-hmm. And so, Ronnie, what do you...
The popular vote may be another story, but there's nothing you can really do about that.
About that. Ronnie, what are you thinking about the last days of the election?
Well, I'm really excited about this. I'm really thanking God that I was alive during this time, that I'm able to vote, that I've seen the this is a huge historic time in time for our country. This is amazing. And I think it's a great race. I think that it's really, really says something for all of us to be so involved. You know, people are interested. People watch the debates, even though it was Monday Night Football. You know, people have, no matter what they think or what their views are or who they're going to vote for, you know, everybody's engaged. And I do think that that's a great thing. I know President Obama's going to win. And I'm glad that Donald Trump didn't run for president. And I'm glad he was quiet during this time.
He was supposed to come out with some huge news today,
actually. Did he say stuff today?
Yes,
Donald Trump all over the news there?
What was it? He was supposed to come out today, but
I didn't. Missed this one.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I heard that he had an announcement, but I didn't see it.
That's because he didn't announce it.
Yeah, no. You know why? Because legitimate news won't cover him now. But he has been covered. I mean, it was pretty much on, like, Entertainment Tonight. Some people ran little things about it. I think on Reverend Sharpton's show he may have said something. Like, they're mocking him. But what he did was in the newspaper and Huffington Post and all these other posts, Donald Trump story is out there. And now it's saying this hoax by Donald Trump. Because since Monday, Fox News and all of these people are carrying this thing that, you know, Donald Trump is going to drop the October surprise on Wednesday. I can't wait. And so after the debate, that's kind of what the chatter was. Donald Trump is going to drop this big bomb. And so there were leaking rumors that one was in a foreign paper that I saw that they were leaking it the night before, saying that Donald Trump had an investigator find some divorce papers between Michelle and Barack and all of this and that, so that's what he's going to drop tomorrow. So tomorrow comes around, and just like the Facebook comments and all of the social media stuff, they said, I guess he went to Plan B and didn't release that because he did like a web video and came out and said he will give the president $5 million to a charity of his liking if he releases his college transcripts and his passport applications. That was his big announcement today.
What? Say that again?
I know. That's what I said. He wanted Donald Trump offering the president $5 million to give up his college transcripts and his passport application information.
Can he get arrested for that? He's trying to bribe the president. Can he get arrested for that?
Oh, no, because what he said was he will donate $5 million to his favorite charity.
Oh.
Now, why would you give somebody your college transcript to begin with?
But why did he want to see his college transcript?
Again,
I ask.
Well, because just like with his birth certificate, there's always conspiracy that he really didn't go there and he got there through affirmative action. Some little racist, the racist Donald Trump, I forgot to throw that on, the alleged racist Donald Trump said, because who asked about those questions? Now, if he wanted to wisely spend his money, here's what he should have did. I am going to give Mitt Romney $5 million to show us his taxes. How about that?
There you go.
That would have been a bargain. Riley probably would have took that $5 million.
He probably would have.
But that was the alleged racist Donald Trump's statement today. And so that's why no one covered it.
So what was he was saying? Oh, it's going to be so big, it's so big, it's going to change the. They said it will change the course of the election. Yeah, it probably. Why would that change the fact that he's offering the? Okay, never mind. Why am I even asking?
Because in their mind, they're saying, "Well, if he didn't do anything, why don't he take the deal?"
But this is
why
the deal.
$5 million donated to his favorite charity. Why? For what reason? He can donate $5 million himself if he wants to donate it.
Got his own money to donate.
And who gets the tax write off? Trump. Why would he do that?
Why doesn't he? I would tell him, yeah, my favorite charity is having you shipped somewhere.
Donald Trump don't have $5 million.
You know,
that's the funny thing. Lawrence O'Donnell blows him out of water every day because his money is tied up in his properties. And so he ain't rolling in cash like that. Now, he has money. He has leverage.
Yeah.
But he ain't splashing out. That's why he dropped out of the race to begin with. Oh, I'm going to run. Donald Trump was not going to spend his own money on none of that. That was not going to happen. And even when he gave money in this election, I think he only gave probably a maximum of like 10 grand. He didn't even give 100 grand. Donald Trump don't have loot like that. That's why he's doing television.
Yeah.
Why do you think this dude is a carnival barker? He's around here hustling everybody, and it's a kind of another mechanism to make money. You don't see any of the David Rockefeller and them trying to get a reality show.
Nope. And you see, he jumps in the bandwagon. He's a bandwagon leader.
Right.
He always has been.
Well, I think he blew his credibility with the news because then nobody covered it.
But
and like
I said,
they covered it on Entertainment Tonight.
But
it was funny because it was kind of a side issue because they probably ain't had nothing else to talk about.
But the whole point of it is that we know that Donald Trump is a master at marketing himself, right? So then he gets all this free publicity because everybody's running around saying, oh, my goodness, Trump has got something. Trump has something on the president. Trump has something on the president. He's been doing, you know, it's like, come on, really? You guys are going after that again?
And it's the low bar that Republicans have to deal with when it comes to them being racist and crazy. Now, on the Democrat side, nobody would ever listen to somebody so doggone radical and crazy.
I have a question quick before you guys get ready to hang up.
Uh-huh.
Jerome or Kathleen, what is the deal with this guy with the God and God, if a woman gets raped, it's something that God, and she gets pregnant, it's something that God probably wanted to happen?
Mitt Romney won't distance himself from that guy either.
He did.
He still gave him permission to run commercials. Because Mitt Romney, they showed stuff all day of joint commercials that they did with him. And Mitt Romney standing next to him saying, I'm supporting him. And with his help, when I'm president, he's going to be able to help me with his policies and this and that. And Mitt Romney is not distancing himself from this guy.
Was that the senator?
It's the same guy, yeah.
Is yours?
Yeah, I'm positive. I've been watching all of the clips from him with his arms around him and doing joint commercials with him. Mitt Romney endorsed him. He did some rallies with him.
He said it last night, though. That's kind of close to the, isn't it?
He said that last night and the day before Mitt Romney spoke up on his behalf supporting him. The day before he said that.
Wow. And he's boy. Wow, man.
Well, let's try and leave on a high note here.
Well, here's a high note.
People
aren't that dumb. So regardless on what anybody is seeing on TV, people who vote don't really watch this stuff like that. So you can't believe that less than 30 days out, let history remember this. When after the election, they will be talking about all the character flaws that happened 30 days and 90 days before the race. They will not be talking about any of this. 3 weeks, 4 weeks before an election, it's already a done deal. You're not swaying any voters right now. Mm-hmm. The people who are saying that they're on the fence are lying to you.
I thought so, too.
Yeah, they're playing, because Republicans normally do that, too, because they're just pretty much saying, you know what, I'm not sure who I want to go with. They both seem like I just need to know more. If you need to know more by now, you got a problem. I call them as non-voters, and it's not a big enough number to sway anything. So they're just pretty much playing with you because they're just not going to give you a commitment anyway if they waited this long. But it doesn't usually take this long. So when you start getting polling, that's why in political campaigns generally, right in the last 3 weeks and 4 weeks, we will not pay for polling because you're playing around with numbers now. You know, so you got to sift out specific groups and all this other stuff. Those numbers are very flawed, and if you look at the bigger picture in the swing states in particular, those numbers have still been stable since the last 45 days to right now.
That's what they said. I got a question. What's the best, if you're going to listen, because I stopped listening. After the other night, I stopped listening to the man that called them two cows. I don't know if you heard that.
No.
He said that they both had really nothing to say. They both were just uneventful. Some jerk said. You heard him say that?
Yeah, I can't remember who it was. Was it Pliers Morgan?
No, he was on Channel 7. Channel 7 guy.
Do not watch CNN.
No, I know.
Horrible.
Horrible.
Right? So Pliers Morgan, don't watch Chuck Todd. They all, for some reason, even doing the good nights in the Democratic side, Chuck Todd actually looks upset when Democrats do well. I haven't figured him out, and he looks a little too happy when he thinks Republicans are doing well. If you ever notice his coverage, and he's supposed to be in between this stuff, whenever he's with Republicans, he's always happier than when he's with Democrats. No, seriously. I can spot racist folks a mile off. I've been doing this stuff a long time in politics, and I can tell you that his bias is very obvious. It's very obvious. So you don't take those guys you don't take them at their word because they're trying to sway one way or another. So they're like, according to my analysis, I think this. I'm telling you, just to get on record, the president is going to have at least 300 electoral votes. And I said 330 last time, and he had 365 last time. And I remember I was on Clear Channels doing a show, and I said 330, and everybody said, you're crazy. They said it's going to be a close race going into the wee hours in the morning. And the first thing I said, the next show that I did, every time somebody questioned anything that I said, I just say the word 330 to them, and they all laugh. So that is my running joke, is 330, because nobody believes it. So right now, I still think he's over 300, and 300 is a landslide in electoral politics. I think some people are going to be surprised, and I think he's going to win Arizona.
Ooh.
Wow, that's huge.
That's huge.
Well, every time they poll Arizona, and when they're doing these national polls, they're only polling Mitt Romney and the president. But when they do the localized polling, there's another guy on the ballot, and that guy is pulling about 5%, which is taken from Romney, and it's also giving President the lead. And he's on the ballot, and he's actively running. It's a third-party candidate. He's pulling about 5% out of Arizona. So everybody's going to fall out and be all surprised. And I'm like, you can see the stuff coming a mile away. Arizona's going to be close. So as
where are you
going to
be on election night, you guys?
Yes.
Where?
Yeah.
Where is he going to be, you said?
Both of you. Where are you planning to be on election night? You and Jerome. What are you going to do?
Oh.
Sit in front of the TV? You going to out and about to talk to people? Are you going to be at the polling place?
Actually, I'm not working any campaigns locally, so technically I don't, as a tradition on election day, I usually just go vote and I stay away from people until the results come in, and then I'll decide what I'm going to do.
Oh, okay.
it's nerve wracking being in a room full of people trying to go, what's the number? So I usually watch it somewhere secluded. What are they talking about? Hearing people lie all day with speculation. I need to see numbers. So.
And for me, last year I worked the poll, so I may do that again this year. No, I'm not even going to work the polls this year. I'm going to go. Cause
look, I'm out.
I was outside, you know, helping people get answers to questions and so on and so forth. But they did pretty well. The lines were really long last year, though, as you know. So this year I'm going to go event hopping, you know, from Democratic Club to Democratic Club. I think I'm going to go see if I can find a Mormon temple and see if they'll let me in. No, I've really been thinking about doing that.
I think they'll let you in. I'm not sure they'll let you out.
Yeah. You're crazy. So I'm just thinking I'm going to, you know, just kind of roam around and see what's happening, interview a few people, you know, go out with my camera, interview a few people and, you know, see how that's going. But anyway, what about you, Ronnie? What are you going to do on election night?
Because I don't really have like a big amount of people that I know in town, and the people that I've interviewed regarding voting have disappointed me. A lot of them have said, I can't vote, I'm not registered and stuff, so I'm not going to be with them.
They're just going to make you mad.
They're going to just make me angry. You know, I know they're hard to place, but if you can't vote, then I can't really hang out with you. So I'm going to probably sit in front of the TV and yell at it.
Yeah.
I'm going to sit in front of the TV and yell at it.
That's
and I'm actually, too, during the day, I'm going to see if I need to help any elderly people get to the polls.
Get to the polls. Oh, that's great. That's great. That's what I did. I did that last year as well. So, okay, well, on that note, I want to thank you all so much for coming on out. Maybe we should try and do a radio program. That might be fun.
That might be fun. A night
watch. Jerome didn't say anything, so we'll have to revisit.
No, I was thinking the same thing. I just didn't say anything.
Oh, okay. So
that's a good idea.
That would be a lot of fun, actually. So we'll revisit that, and we'll see. So if you're listening, we may be back here on election night doing that. But in the meantime, I want to thank Jerome Esprit of Esprit Net Radio, and you can catch him on the BTR right here on Esprit Net News Thursday nights at 11 p.m. And definitely tune in to that show because it's all the news that's fit to say on the air. And you can join us back. Ronnie and I will be back on Sunday nights at 8 o'clock with the new show called Professional Style, where you'll be able to find everything. If you are single, professional, parent, travel, lifestyle, all the things that you need to keep your professional style moving straight up. And on Monday afternoon at 2 p.m. right here on Ask Kathleen Network, the amazing show, the new show to hit the airwaves, is called Black on Black Crime, and that's with Jerome Esprit and Finesse every Monday at 2 p.m. And that show is off the charts. You definitely want to tune in for that. So we've got a lot going on here on Ask Kathleen Network, and I thank you so much for tuning in. Stay with us. Come back. Send us your information, your notes, and so forth, what you want to hear, and we will get back with you. So, again, thank you, Ronnie. Thank
Yay.
You, Jerome.
Yeah,
it's been great. It's been great having you all here. So, Jerome, I'll check you out tomorrow night, and I'll see you all back here again on Sunday. Have a fabulous evening, everybody, and make sure you get out and vote. Good night, all.
All right.
Good night.